We've been going through a series, Being Joyful in Challenging Times. It's been Paul's letters to the church in Philippi. Now, Philippi was a thriving community, much like Lincoln is right now. They were a little bit of history again, just to catch up. Paul spent his life, much of his life, going and traveling and telling people about the love of Jesus Christ. He didn't have fancy cameras and he didn't have internet. He went on foot from one place to the other, telling people about this person that they had never heard of, Jesus Christ, and that they were loved, and that the message of God was to be ready for the kingdom of heaven. And he would get in groups with people and he would have these conversations with them. And they would have conversations and share that with their friends and their family. And then they would invite people. And before long, a church was started. And Paul would see this church started. And he would stay with them for just a little bit. But then as the church got on and got going, Paul would then move on to the next area to tell the next people about the love of Jesus Christ. But right now, in doing so, what Paul was doing in that time was illegal. You could not do what Paul was doing. You could not start churches. You could not share the love of Jesus Christ. He had a government that was over him that was very insecure about things that people did. And what they did to Paul was they put him in prison. And so he's writing these letters from prison to the Philippians, and he's telling them, we've been going through this now for a couple of weeks, I think, more than a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks or something like that. And he's been telling them things of instruction, things of encouragement, and primarily things to remind them that even during troubling times, that it's important for us to keep our focus. It's important for us to keep our faith. And I don't know if that sounds familiar, but those are the times that we're kind of in right now, too. A lot of us, we are facing some challenging times. We are facing some things that we didn't see coming. A lot of us are feeling feelings of anxiety. Some of us are feeling feelings of depression. Some of us are feeling anger. Some of us are feeling worrisome. Paul is reminding the church in the of the Philippians to remember where their focus is. Remember what's important, what's truly, truly important. And by doing so, Paul is planting a seed, just like he planted that church that 2,000 years later, we now know the name Jesus Christ, and we are planting churches now. Paul's letters to these churches were seeds planted to give us messages 2,000 years later. For us who are experiencing the same type of thing, we're celebrating new church starts, but we are also have some things that are causing us a little bit of trouble. Paul is sending that message to us too. One of the passages in this letter that Paul writes reads as this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." That word supplication can also be translated as begging. By everything in prayer and begging, requesting, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the presence of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." This is amazing that Paul is writing this kind of stuff while he is in prison, not knowing what his next 24 hours will be. They don't give you lawyers at this time and work out a plan and go to trial and where you have a little bit of an idea of what's going to be in your future. They don't tell you anything. And so Paul is actually sitting in prison wondering what whether he's going to be alive tomorrow. But this is important to him, to focus on these things. There are times when passages like these can be quite troublesome to people. Because if you are experiencing great anxiety, if you are experiencing great depression, if something tragic really is happening to you, it's hard for someone just to come up and say, hey, just buck up. Just think about the fact that things are groovy in the kingdom of heaven, and right now it's just peaches and cream. That's all you got to do, brother, sister. Sometimes that's hard to do. And sometimes we try different ways to manage those type of feelings. I've been reading a classic book lately. The book is actually called The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And many of you, I don't know if there's a person around that hasn't heard the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's about this guy named Dr. Jekyll, and he takes this potion, and he turns into the evil Mr. Hyde. Now, the story in the book has a little bit more details. You see, there was this guy. His name was Dr. Jekyll. And what he struggled with was that he didn't like the negative in his life. The fact that mankind, that human beings, people, that they had to balance this constant act of the good inside of them and the bad inside of them. The happy thoughts and the optimism and the negativity. The side that wanted to do things with morality and values, and the side that just wanted to go nuts and give in to things like greed and lust and all of those kind of things. He wanted to separate that to where his goal was that people would no longer have to worry about those negative things. What he wanted to do was just make it to where a person was completely pure. And so he created this potion. And he drinks it, and what happens is he creates this alter ego that is completely negative, that takes all of his negativity, all of his lustfulness, all of his greed, all of his anger, everything, and it just takes the delusion of the good out. So all that is pure anger, evil, negative thoughts. And it says that he even transforms him into a smaller person. And they don't really talk about this in the movie versions at all, but it transforms him into a smaller person, because what Dr. Jekyll realizes is that the negative and sinful side of us is actually smaller than the side that is positive and giving. And so he was able to take this potion and give into all of his lust and his anger, and he became this hateful, nasty person that always considered everyone as an enemy. And eventually he actually commits a murder because of this. When he's Mr. Hyde, if he takes the potion again, then he resorts back to Dr. Jekyll, the person that has both of these inside of him, but leans more on the good. And the focus is more on the good. And during this time, he finds out that he has to continually take more of the potion each time to balance it out, because the negative side continually wants to come out. And it gets to where whenever he sleeps and loses consciousness or loses alertness, without even taking the potion, he transforms into this Hyde character. Because it's so easy for us to find the negative in our lives. and to find the things that are truly give in to our hateful nature. I just did a pastor bounce. Did you see that? I just did a pastor bounce. I apologize for that. Maybe that's my alter ego, pastor bounce. We as human beings, we do have those two sides in us. If we say we don't, we are in the biggest thing that we have struggling with is denial, because what we have are sides in us. Even the best of people, the best-natured people, do have the side in us that is negative, that wants to give in to the fears that we have and the negativity that we have. We want to not like people. There's a part of us that truly wants to not like people. And there are things in this world that help us to actually almost take that Jekyll Hyde potion and give in to all of that hatefulness. There are things in this world right now that help to feed on the fears that we have. They tell us things like, be careful, because those people of a different color or a different skin tone or a different lifestyle, they're a threat to who you are. They are a threat to who you are. And the only way that you can actually deal with that threat is to hate that other side, to block that other side. And suddenly you find yourself giving into that hatefulness. You find yourself getting into that charge. You find yourself getting succumbed by the lustful feelings of just wanting to hurt another person. And it's very easy to get into that. And when we're in there, the feelings of anxiety, the feelings of depression, the feelings of anger are only intensified because we're not offering ourselves another alternative. We're not giving ourselves another look at the way things could be. We are told that if we let somebody into our life will be over, it will change. If the person that they're pointing out moves next door, our neighborhood is going to not survive. There is no positive that could come from this when we are only focusing on the negative. When Dr. Jekyll was not taking the potion, there was a time in the book where he was able to control it a little bit, where he was able to refrain from becoming this Mr. Hyde character. And it said that as he was living his life, almost for like a year, he was able to live his life without taking the potion, without succumbing to the evilness and the dread and all of that stuff. He still had that, remember, as Dr. Jekyll, he's not just totally good. He still has that battle within him. But he's able to give himself another look at life, another balance at life. And as he's giving himself that balance, the book actually says that he becomes more charitable, that he becomes known as a person that gives to people more. And not only gives to people more, the book actually says, and we don't see this in the movies very much, but as he's got that balance, he becomes more religious. He becomes more faithful. And the charity and the niceness is a result of his faith. And I think that's what Paul was actually talking about when he was telling people to focus on the things that are good and to also talk to God, to tell God what is troubling you. Because we do have those two sides. And remember, God created us. God knows that. God knows our heart. He knows the things that we are struggling with. What he wants us to do is talk about it. What he wants us to do is share. What he wants us to do is beg him for help with this. And sometimes what we think in this, and when we read the passages of this, we focus on things like the God of peace will be with you. But we focus on it like, okay, I'm feeling terrible. I say a prayer. Boom! It's all gone. I'm a happy person. I don't have to worry about anything. If you just had religion, you wouldn't have to worry. That's not what this passage is saying, and that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is in prison. He does have the focus of the kingdom of heaven, but there are times when he's darn right miserable. And he knows that. But what Paul does when he feels miserable is he talks about it. And sometimes we can talk directly to God, but the beauty, The beauty about God is that sometimes when we talk to God, we can also be talking to somebody else at the same time. If we are feeling things that are negative or giving us anxiety or greed or lust or the things that plague us, the things that make us succumb to that small individual that is paralyzed by hatred and villainy, we can't take a magic pill to get rid of it. It will always be with us until we start to talk about it. Until we start to actually share, that is when we can focus on the good. When Paul says focus with thanksgiving and focus on the good, focus on the positive things, he's not saying ignore the negative things. He is saying, remember, in your darkest time, know that there are ways that we can deal with this. Know that there is a lifeline, not a magic wand, but a lifeline. Sometimes when we are in a hole, that lifeline is a rope, and it takes effort for us to climb up a bit. It takes great effort for us to climb up it, and sometimes it takes another person at the top of that hole to hold on to the rope for us. Sometimes it means sharing with another person. Sometimes it means letting all of our anxieties and fears and sadness out. Sometimes it means talking with a professional, a counselor, a psychiatrist. Sometimes it means actually being given medication to help us through things like anxiety and depression. We always think that science has some sort of argument with spirituality. That's not the case. We have a God that loves us so much that he's been giving us science. When we have things like diabetes and other diseases that we can take pills for to help us with that, that's a gift from God. And the pills that we take for things like depression and anxiety and the psychiatrists and psychologists and all of the things that we can do to share is not it's not a form of weakness. It's a miracle. It is something that God has given us saying, I'm trying to answer your prayer. Talk about it. Share the good and the bad, especially now, because there are things in this world that want to make us feel like we're taking that magical pill. They give you all the things that you're supposed to be afraid of, and then they give you that quick fix. You know, all you got to do is hate them, and it's all taken care of. It's black and white. That side is evil. This side is good. When we talk about it, when we become the Dr. Jekyll and balance it, then we find ourselves looking for the good on both sides. Then we find ourselves seeking peace. Then we find ourselves knowing that even if an outcome is not the one that we anticipated, there might still be blessings. If that person moves next door, that person actually could become one of your best friends. If you open your mind, if you share your thoughts, if you say what you feel, then the God of peace will be with you. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, whatever we go through in our lives, whatever the struggle is, whatever the challenges are, whatever the blessings are, don't let us hold it within. Don't let us believe that a magic pill or a potion can take care of it. Don't let us believe that we can just deny things. Give us the faith to focus on the fact that you are a God of peace. And the way that we can focus on the thanksgiving and the good is by sharing all of it, even the things that plague us, the things that challenge us, the things that harm us. Talk about it. Share our feelings so that we can remember that we are given a lifeline to crawl out of it. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. It is a wonderful world out there. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort to see it. Sometimes we have a lot of things in our life that try to tell us that it's anything but. I pray this week that we focus on where God is. Sometimes God is in the leaves on the trees. Sometimes God is in a singing bird. Sometimes God is in a friend that is willing to just listen. And sometimes God is in somebody that is crying their eyes out, wanting someone to talk to. Whenever we are together showing love for one another, we are experiencing a God moment. We are experiencing a preview of what the kingdom of heaven truly is. I pray this week that we look for those and that we offer those. Love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor. Amen.